And I thought, I see Tanner and Brooke. Is the baby there? Oh, we can stand up and show the baby. Hey, Mandy, before you go in, come here. Let's see. Now that's Axel. Axel Brian Goff, right?
Axel.
Oh, okay. Maxwell, that's right. Maxwell and Axel. Amen. Back here is the Ellis baby. Look at them. Two born just within days apart, I believe, a week apart. Isn't that great? Amen. You guys, amen. I just wanted to show off the babies. Don't tell me the church is not growing. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 through 30. He says, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Christ Jesus by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, that and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to also suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Father God, we just come before you, and we're so thankful for your word. We thank you, God, that you are here in a mighty way. The Spirit of God is touching hearts, Lord, speaking, Lord, individuals. I believe, Lord, you're calling us by name today as you're giving instruction. I pray, God, that you would continue to move, continue to speak. Lord, use my mouth, Lord, as your mouthpiece, God. Lord, come out of my heart, Lord, in a mighty way. Lord, come past my mind and through the Spirit, Lord, that you have placed within me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I am not going to talk about this today, but verse 29 says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to also suffer for his sake. These are people of great suffering. These are people that are going through very, very difficult times. And yet this book is known as the book of joy. So they're going through it looking forward. Sometimes Christians today think that they're suffering for Christ. And what most of us are suffering for is our own rebellion and our own sin. If you are speeding down the road and a cop pulls you over, don't come to me and tell me that you're suffering for Jesus. Right? If you don't pay your bills and you go to court or something like, you're not suffering for Jesus. You're suffering because of your ignorance, your unbelief, and your disobedience. These are people who did no wrong, and yet they were suffering for the cause of Christ. So let's not put ourselves in the same ballgame. Okay? So I'm not really preaching about that at all, but I just wanted to mention it. Today I'm talking to you about my confidence is in the Lord. Because three times in this chapter, he talks about being confident. And I find that confidence is sometimes a trait that we do not walk in much. Do you know that confidence is one of the most attractive traits to the other sex? Whether female or male, we're both attracted to confidence. Women look for a man that's confident. Men look for a woman that's confident in who she is. Now, there's a difference in confidence and arrogance. So we'll talk about that for just a second. We'll move on. I believe that arrogance comes from being confident in yourself. You become so puffed up. You think you're a know-it-all. You think you have all this ability. And you begin to turn your eyes inward. And your confidence comes from you and not from the Lord. But I want you to know that that leads into pride, which is very evil in the sight of God. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about confidence today. You cannot talk about confidence without talking about identity. You cannot be confident until you know who you are. Once you know who you are, you can be confident that God has created you this way. And I find that it's a sort of the missing link in the body of Christ is our identity. Who are we in Christ? We're mighty in God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Do you realize he doesn't say I can do all things and stop. I can do all things because I'm so great. I'm really quite a big deal. No, that's not what he's saying. I can do all things through Christ. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. His confidence, Paul's confidence, was in Jesus Christ, that no matter what he goes through in life, I know I can accomplish this. I know I'm going through because I know who I am. And I am his son. He is my Lord. I am in him and he is in me. How many times have you heard people say, well, I'm the only Christian where I work. I'm the only Christian in my school. I'm the only... You just label it wrong, folks. Don't say I'm the only. You say I'm the evangelist at this point. I'm the evangelist in the courthouse. I'm the evangelist at Walmart. I'm the evangelist in my school. It's all a perspective, right? How are you going to see it? Let's see it through the eyes of the Lord. I don't think he sees weakness when he sees the body of Christ. I'm going to preach myself happy today. The world defines confidence as faith or belief that one will act in a right or proper way. However, in the Greek, when he translates these Greek words to confidence, there's three Greek words that he mainly uses. The Greek words are parousia, which means bold, frank, forthright speech. In other words, when you become a confident person, you're going to hear it in your voice. Have you ever surprised yourself? Have you ever had something that's really wrong in your life that's, you know in yourself, you ought to be falling apart right now? But instead, there was like this spill, a steel stake that was going down through your spine. And it was saying, I declare this is not going to happen. I declare that she will be healed, or I'm coming out of poverty, or I'm doing this. That's not you. That's the confidence I'm talking about that's in the Lord. That's that bold speech that may even surprise you, because if you wasn't raised up to be bold and you begin to see this boldness come out, Can I just need a little help here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? That's one of the words. The other word is pithio. It means to have an absolute conviction. My goodness, how that would be so good in the world in which we live. You know, we talked, I think it was one Wednesday night, about the prophetic person who's very black and white and very little gray area. I find in the world today, there's very little black and white, and it's all gray. In other words, we have this list of morality that we call it situational ethics. Well, I can't tell you exactly what's right and what's wrong because it depends on the situation. Well, I got news for you, folks. That goes against this word. This word says there's a right way and there's a wrong way. I'm going to tell you, men or women, if you have an affair, that's wrong. It's wrong every time. I don't care if your wife is sick. I don't care if she's not paying attention to you. I don't care. It's still wrong. There's just things that are wrong. It's wrong when you're married. It's wrong to flirt. Let's back it up just a notch. Let's quit talking about adultery. Let's start talking about flirting. Because if we'll just stop flirting, we won't have the affairs. I'm not for sure where that's coming from. The last word is hypostasis. It means to stand under pressure. I love that.
Oh, buddy, I'm going to tell you, we all love it when everything goes right. I love those commercials talking about the easy button, because I don't think there's a commercial that's more true to life than that one. It seems like every American's just looking for the easy way out. But there's a confidence in the Lord that gives you the ability to stand under pressure. Scripture says that tribulations are coming. See, even when Jesus, his last prayer for his disciples, he did not say, take them out of this world. He didn't say, don't let them have a hard time. He said, take them through it. I got news for you, folks. Jesus is not going to take you out of it. He's going to give you the ability to go through it. And that's called confidence. So when the storms of life comes, you recognize that there's a steel rod in your back. And it says, come hell or high water, I don't care. I'm standing for Jesus. And he will carry me through. My confidence is not in Eric's ability. My confidence is not in how much money Eric has. My confidence is in Jesus Christ. Amen. We may wake up tomorrow morning and find out that every dime we have is worth nothing. And it doesn't matter. Because it's not the money that's going to carry you through. It's not your ability. It's not your intellect. It is Jesus Christ. That's why I say build a relationship with him. Know him so that you can have that confidence when the doctor comes to you, when your wife comes to you. I got news for you. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean you'll not suffer divorce. I can't tell you how many people that I know that love Jesus with all their heart, that one day their wife or their husband came to them and said, I'm tired of living with you. What are you going to do, old man of God? I'm going to stand firm in who I am. You get it? Now, I'm not speaking that on you. I don't want that for you. I pray that you never have to go through that. But if you do, if the doctor comes to you and says, you know, that little cough is a little bit worse than what you thought, and we can't help you. My confidence is in the Lord, creator of heaven and earth. Whence comes my help? My help is from the Lord. Jiminy Christmas. There is no situation that could ever affect us if we recognize we are hooked up. The divine power of God is the way Peter said it. I want you to be partakers of the divine nature of God. Yes. Well, I'm only human. I'm just a man. Give me a break. Yes, you're human. But Peter said, we're partakers of the divine nature of God. Amen. There's nothing special about me. But there's something special about who I'm hooked up with. You get that? Yes. The divine nature of God. I am a partaker. Yes. That brings me confidence. No matter what I go through, he will not leave me. He'll stick closer than a brother. Yes. He is my rock and my anchor in whom I trust. You got it?
Yes.
Let's go on. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. But I've lied before, so don't worry. No. Paul says there's three things that he's confident about. He says, I'm confident of a completed work in us. In verse 6, I wish everybody in this household would just memorize that verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. In other words, if you are saved today, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, but you don't feel real confident about that, get confidence because of verse 6. He says, I'll complete the work in you. That's something you can be confident in. And then Paul says, that they're confident about my chains. This is an interesting point. Paul says, I am enchained to a Roman prisoner or to a Roman soldier. I'm under house arrest, and it's given the body of Christ confidence. Do you realize that what you go through builds the confidence of other people if you do it right? I'll get to this one a little bit later. The third thing is that Paul says, I'm confident that he will remain, that Paul will remain to help them mature. In other words, I'm confident that God is going to lead me here for your benefit. I can say it this way. I'm confident that whatever John needs, God's going to make it happen. Whatever you need to grow, whatever you need to mature, Jesus is going to make it happen for you. That's my confidence. We get so tied up in the law of the land. I'm going to tell you, I've seen God move upon legislators to write a law just for one Christian. You may not believe that. I don't really care. Confidence is the characteristic that Jesus expects us to walk in. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26, I have all these on the board for you. Says, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He's talking about like a wild animal. No trap is going to hold you. He's going to take you through. Proverbs 14, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7 says, is the beginning of wisdom. We don't talk much about the fear of the Lord, but we should reverence him enough that we respect him, that we will honor him, and we'll do whatever he tells us to do. That's the fear of the Lord. Sort of like the fear of a parent. Not a bad parent, but a good, godly parent. Their children have a fear and respect for them, and they want to please them. That's the way we live for God. We love him enough, we just want to please him. Psalms 118:8. Which is a pretty interesting verse because it's the exact middle verse of the Holy Bible. If you could find the middle of your Bible, and the middle verse is Psalms 118:8, and it says this, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. I'd say that is great wisdom. Before you trust your doctor, before you trust your lawyer, before you trust your banker or your investment broker, trust the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, in whom we have boldness. The word boldness there, unflinching authority. I love that. In whom, in Jesus, we have unflinching authority and access with confidence through faith in him. Do you realize what a privilege it is that you can go to the Lord in prayer and he hears you? It's the absolute privilege that we rarely take advantage of. It's like the Lord laying a $1 million check on this altar table up here and saying, hey, this check is for you. If you want it, come and get it. And we're just sitting there thinking, I don't think that's a real check. I don't believe in that. Don't believe in it if you don't want to. But I'm going to tell you, when you understand who you are, when you understand that you have the authority of Christ, you're going to start seeing your life conquer. Jesus never expected us to go through this life as failures and defeated foes. He called us to triumph. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, he says, we are the circumcisions. In other words, we're Jews who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now he goes on and says, oh, we could have confidence in our flesh because I'm a Benjamite. I know who I am. I'm this, I'm that. I've been trained. I went to school. I've been trained by the best teachers in the land. I could be confident in me, but I'm not. I'm confident in him because he's so much greater. His wisdom goes so much further than our wisdom. I will not choose to be confident in the things that I know. I will be confident in Him. Hebrews 3:14 says, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Don't let go, in other words. Don't stop, folks. Hold on to your confidence. Hebrews 4:16, let's come boldly. The word boldly could be translated confidently. Let's come confidently to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace in our help to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:35-36, he says, therefore don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Your confidence has great reward. It will carry you through. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And I believe there's some people here today, that's exactly, you're in that boat. You've done the will of God, and Satan is trying with all his power to push you off of your confidence. And he's trying to get you to speak against you. And we do it all the time. I just come with a loud mouth today and every day to say, stand! Got you, didn't I? This little girl about jumped out of her clothes right there. Your leader did that to me the other night, by the way. Stand. Don't give up. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. You know another word for substance? Confidence. Now faith is the confidence. You see what I'm really telling you today? Keep your faith. Don't move away from your faith. Hold on to your faith. Faith is confidence. Faith is knowing something that you have no business knowing. It's knowing the outcome, but not the procedure. You don't know the way it's going to go. I just know the outcome of this thing. That's faith. That's confidence. Why? Because you know who you are. I know that I'm a son of God. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us. There are some examples of people that exude confidence in the Scriptures. And there's some pictures, there's some examples of people that needed confidence in Scripture. The first one I thought about was Joshua. Now, you don't see this in Joshua's life, but you can determine this because of the way the Scriptures reads. Three times in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, three times the Lord comes to him and says, be strong and very courageous. Why is he telling him that? Because he's standing there like this. Dear God, I've got to follow Moses? How would you like to follow Moses? Hey, Daniel, you're the next leader, buddy. Get your rod. Let's open. Let's see if you can divide this water. Are you following me? See, I as a manager, was in business management for a long time. I always wanted to follow a failure. Give me a business that's falling apart. That's the one I want. Why? Because I'll put it back together and I can look like a hero. Won't you see what he did? But following somebody who's done it well takes a different set of skill set. Man, this guy's laid a great foundation. He's been a hero to this community, and I'm the next leader. And Joshua didn't take it lightly. He says, I know Moses. I know how godly he is. I know how God talks to him face to face. And now he's saying, hey, you're it. And that scares me. Three times the Lord says, be strong and courageous, Joshua, because just the way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I got news for you. You could put your name right there. Because God's not a respecter of persons. Just the way he was with Moses, he'll be with Sandra. He'll be with Courtney. He'll be with anyone in this building that will declare it, will stand on it. I'm losing you. Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy and says, don't be timid. be timid, son. God's not given you the spirit of timidity. God's not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Why did he write it to Timothy? Because Timothy was going through that. You can use your powers of deduction in Scripture. Timothy was having a problem. He was a young man trying to pastor a great church. And he was scared at the responsibility that he faced. So Paul says, hey, don't be timid. It's not about you, it's about who's in you. Man, if we get that. Nehemiah, he started, for I was the cupbearer to the king. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a mason. I'm not a great leader to pull the people together. I'm a cupbearer to the king. But the Lord moved on the heart of Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls of Jerusalem. He did it in 52 days. You know how he did it? King Artaxerxes, I believe it was, says, Nehemiah, I've never seen you sad in my presence before. What's going on? There's a powerful scripture about this long. Nehemiah said, basically said this, so I whispered a prayer to my God. Aren't you thankful God hears the whispers? You don't have to pray long, eloquent prayers. God hears the whispers. How many times, I can't tell you, I have been this close to a car wreck, and what comes out of my mouth? Jesus! I remember one time I had my car full of young people. A lady in front of me, and I'm driving way too fast. I was 17. I mean, I'm flying through LBL late at night. The girl in front of me, she's got six kids in her car. I've got six people in my car. She decides, she saw a deer. She decides to put her headlights on the deer. So she turns sideways in the road, points her, stops. I come around the curve. There she is, sitting still in the middle of the road. I'm doing about 75 miles an hour. She's sitting still, sideways in the road, pointing her lights on the deer. All I could get out was Jesus. Jesus, there's going to be 12 deaths. In the moment of time, I felt that steering wheel come out of my hand. I felt it go, vroom, vroom, and then I had it back. And I slowed my butt down. I said, thank you, Jesus. Guys, I'm telling you, it's real. God hears your whispers in the middle of the night. Nehemiah whispered, God, give me strength. He made a list this long for the king. King, I need these supplies. The king says, okay, you got it. How long are you going to be gone? He told him, okay, you got it. See you later, Nehemiah. You get it built, come on back. Isn't that amazing? Daniel says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He's a man that's confident. The three Hebrew children says, King, we aren't for sure if God will deliver us or not. But all we know is we're not bowing to that idol you made. God will get us out of this situation one way or the other. My confidence is in the Lord. I just got to stand. When all else, I've got to stand. David, when facing Goliath, he said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Here's a 16-year-old boy facing a giant. The whole army is paralyzed by fear. They will not face this guy. This little teenager comes up and he says, I'll fight him. Why? Because he was so mighty? No, because he knew whose he was. You see, one day when I was keeping the sheep of my daddy, a bear came out of the woods and I killed it. One day a lion came out of the woods and I killed it to protect my daddy's sheep. You see, that giant over there is no different than the bear and the lion. God will deliver him in my hands. It was nothing about how great he was with a sling. He just knew who he was. The whole army was paralyzed. I found an interesting scripture this week. It's in 2 Samuel. I'm not going to read it because I can't read all these names. But write this one down. 2 Samuel 21, verse 15 through 22. It tells all the men how they killed these giants. Goliath had four brothers. And there were several giants in the land. And one by one, it tells who killed these giants. David was fighting a soldier, and he was about to be killed. Ishbosheth steps up and kills the guy who David is fighting again. And then that scripture says, and he killed this giant, and he killed that giant, and he killed this giant, and he killed this giant. And my mind immediately thought, but it all started with one man. It all started with a teenage boy who says, I'm not coming to you because of my skill. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And see, what David did made all of them realize, hey, if he did that, so can I. You see, you may be going through something today that's really not about you. It may be about the kingdom of God needs to see an example of somebody who will stand the test of time. These guys that won and killed these giants, it all come back to the confidence that they had that if David did it, I can do it. If she can go through cancer, I can go through cancer. If he can watch the death of his wife and come through that in the glory that he did, then bless God, I can do it. We spur on each other as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Your confidence in the Lord, others are sitting back and observing, and they're saying, oh, I can do that. They also observe your weakness. Let's be confident. Peter, the guy who didn't have enough confidence to tell a servant girl that, yeah, he knew Jesus, denied Jesus three times at his death, at Christ's death, stands up on the day of Pentecost, preaches to multitudes. 3,000 people get saved. Why? Because Peter finally recognized who he was in Christ. Because Peter had been empowered by the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He knew who he was. You get it? Do you know who you are? Paul ends this thing. He said, now let our conduct be worthy of the gospel. Let your lifestyle be worthy of the price that's been paid for your salvation. I think I've come today to tell you, there are people watching you. I remember thinking this morning, I don't know if I was dreaming or what I was doing, but I was talking to somebody and I was telling them, don't forget your ministry is to your children first. I'm so thankful that I recognized that at about 25 years old. I recognized it because a man by the name of Dewey Hudspeth came to our church one time and preached a sermon. He says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I was sitting there with two little boys. Third one wasn't even thought of at that moment. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, this is your ministry. I got news for you. If you're a daddy, you look over at your children right now and you say, this is my ministry. He's probably going to be just like you. She's probably going to be just like you, Mama. What's she going to be when she grows up? I want to be just like you, Daddy. I want to be just like you. Is that a good thing? I can tell you one thing. If your confidence is in the Lord, it's a great thing. I wanted my kids to be like me. I wanted to pass my faith down. kids are a lot smarter than I am. But I'm so thankful that they're serving Jesus Christ. I don't really care what they do for a living, as long as they serve Jesus with all their heart. Let your conduct be worthy. He gives them four things. He says, stand fast in one spirit. Be unified in spirit. Second thing is be unified in your thoughts. It's one thing for us to be unified in spirit. It's another thing for us to be unified in our minds. See, we can come to this building and we can be unified to worship the Lord in spirit, but if we're not unified in mind, we won't accomplish anything. We must have one vision, not ten. There's one vision for the house. God sets a pastor over the house, gives him the vision for the house. If you can't abide by that vision, you're in the wrong church. Our vision is to be a great soul-winning station. Our vision is to be a bridge in this community. God gave us that name. We didn't come up with that. We're not that bright. God says, I want you to bridge in this community. I want you to bridge people from darkness to light. I want you to bridge people that's in the light to a greater light. I want you to be a bridge. That's who we are. Let's get it right. We don't have any other place for another vision in this church, because two visions is division. We have one vision, and that's from the Lord. We're one in spirit. We're one in mind. We will accomplish great things. Now, you can say that to your wife. Husbands, you can say it to your wife. Wife, you can say to your husband, what is your vision for this family? Wives, you ought to put a little pressure on your man. Come on, let's preach. Give me just a second. There's too many panty waist men in this kingdom. And it's time men become men. You ought to have a vision for your family, man. LaToya told me the other day, she's sitting in my house, we was talking. Her daddy, she's raised by her stepdad. He wasn't a Christian. But she said something to me that just was like driving a stake through my heart. He wasn't a Christian, but he was a man. Hoo-wee, I'm telling you. She said, my mama never worried about this. My mama never had to do this. My mama never did this. Because my daddy took care of it. Because he's a man. Now he's a man of God because he's given his heart to Jesus. I want you to know, men, you ought to have a plan for your family. And let me just tell you, young guys, don't you get married until you have a plan. Because you're not ready. You're not ready to get married until you can be a man. Until you can man it up. Anybody can create kids. That's not being a father. You're a sperm donor. Being a father means I'm there. I support my children mentally and physically. I don't know where this is coming from, but you better listen, because I guess it's from the Holy Ghost. Be a man. I just think that's such a privilege. And the women say, hey, it's a privilege to be a woman too. Yes, it is. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Men, know where you're taking your family. And if you're not taking them to church, you're taking them to the wrong place. Keep them in the house of God. Keep pouring the word of God. I promise you, they're going to be like you. Unless God intercedes in their life. That's a free sermon. He says, work together for the spread of the gospel. That's the call of the church. That's the call of every Christian. Spread the gospel. And he says the last thing. He says, don't be terrified. Don't be fearful by your adversary. Talking to a pastor yesterday. Today after service, he's asked all of his church to pray and fast. He said, we're coming today. We're going to cast that spirit out of our church. I said, what you talking about, Pastor? He said, we got a demonic spirit that's walking through these halls of the church. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, we hear it. We can hear doors slamming. He said, one day, he said, a lady was supposed to be on the bus, and she wasn't on the bus, so we started looking for her. She's a Sunday school teacher, so we went to her Sunday school class thinking maybe she forgot something in there. He said, me and a deacon went to the Sunday school class. And he said, I said, Debbie, are you in there? And she said, I'm over here. Except she wasn't in the room. An evangelist come to their church. He said, I got a word from the Lord for you. I know this is freaking some of you out. It's okay. There really is a spiritual world. He said, I got a word from the Lord for you. And he said, what's that? He said, there's a bully spirit in your church. You wonder why your church is not growing. It's not because of good preaching and good songs, good worship. It's because there's a spirit that's working in this church that's against you. They're coming today to fast and pray. Dear God, we pray that they cast that thing out in the name of Jesus today. When my brother was 18, he was called to preach. In the middle of the night, he felt a demon jump on him. It's real. I've had a couple episodes like that too. Martin Luther did too. He woke up one night and he saw a demon standing at the foot of his bed. You know what he did? He said, oh, it's only you. He turned over and went to sleep. Documented, folks, it's true. You see, you don't have to be afraid of that. Is there a devil? Yes, there is. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm not going to fear any demon. Whence comes my help? My help is from the Lord. Folks, I don't know what you're going through. I just know you're on the winning side. Be confident in this. He who began a good work in you, he'll complete it. Stand with me. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? You're probably more than what you know. I think it's interesting that in Scripture says that God will give us a new name. Names was a way of identifying the characteristics of people in the Scripture. They didn't just name them Eric, Bob, Joe. They named them their character. I got a feeling when you get to heaven, you're going to be called by a different name. And it's going to be who you were on this earth. And I just wonder, will it disappoint you? When you find out what Jesus called you to do, will you say, I was supposed to do that? But don't you understand? I wasn't highly intelligent. Jesus, don't you understand? I dropped out of high school. Do you understand that I was born very poor? I never made much money. I didn't have much influence. Jesus, do you understand that that just wasn't me? And Jesus is going to look at you and he's going to say, no, it's me in you. And I'm sorry. You can come in, but I'm sorry that you didn't figure this one out on earth. I think we ought to know who we are in Christ. And I think it might surprise us. Gideon was hiding behind the barn when the Lord spoke to him and said, hey, mighty man of valor, come and lead the battle. He's hiding. You see, the way God sees you and the way you see you may be different. I'm going to ask today that the Holy Ghost opens your eyes so that you can see what's in you. So you can change the way you look at the world And you can walk on the platform of life with confidence, not arrogance, but confidence that if God has called me to do this, I know I can do it, because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Folks, I hope so badly you get this sermon. Can I pray for you? Jesus, I have delivered what I believe is a word from the Lord today to these people. I have felt your power. I have heard words come out of my mouth that I did not expect to speak. Lord, I know you've been in this house. I know you've been speaking. And I hope and I pray that the saints of God have been hearing. Because I believe with all my heart you want to change us. You want us to be confident. You want us to walk with our heads held high and our shoulders pulled back, because we know who we are. We are a mighty army of God. And we have been placed in Paris, Tennessee for such a time as this. We were not born by accident. We was called into being by you. God, help us not to sell ourselves short, but to accomplish what you called us to do and to be. Now, Lord, I'm asking that the Spirit of God would unveil our eyes today to behold the power that's within us, to see correctly, for the first time maybe, how powerful we are, that we are partakers of the divine nature of God. Devil, we put you on warning today. There's a mighty army being stirred up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.